to reconciliation. And it's about bringing forth light. And I want to use as a subtopic, I can see clearly now. I can see clearly now. We're going to find out about things that obstruct and distort our vision and how to get them out of your eyes. Light, light. This is what we are, light bearers. And I want to say this before I even read this. You don't have to put out the darkness, remove the darkness for a light to shine. You don't go in a room and try to, I got to get this darkness out of here. No, you just hit the light switch. Light always dispels darkness. Light reveals. Light helps you have an understanding. And that's part of my ministry. When we're talking about light, we're talking about revelation. When you can't see clearly, your view is obstructed, then it slows you down. I mean, if you're in driving in thick fog, you have to slow down. You can't be going 70 miles an hour around a mountain and you can't see nothing no more than 10 feet in front of you. What happened? Your view is obstructed by the fog. So it slows you down. But when light comes, when the fog clears, you can accelerate. God wants to accelerate you. And whatever whatever you're called to do, whatever you're called to be, whatever you're dreaming about. And so that's part of my ministry, and I thank God for it. That's one thing that bothered me before I got saved. I got saved in 1974. I came to church, it wasn't any light. I wanted understanding. And all I saw was emotionalism. I'm not against emotionalism, but having a zeal without knowledge will leave you bankrupt. You shout all day, but if you don't know what you're shouting about, you can jump, hoop, holler, run to church, and still be sick and broke and defeated. So we are ministers of light. All of us are. Light on your job, light on, and like I said, you don't have to go around trying to get rid of the darkness. We can just get rid of all them unsaved folks, all the liars and haters, drug addicts and the perverted people. No, what we got? You don't have to remove darkness for your light to shine. That's why God made you let your light so shine. That's their way out. Why you think we're still here in the earth? It's to be a light to the world. We are the light of the world. Let your light so shine. And notice it said, let it. In order for you to shine, you don't have to put my light out. There's enough darkness for all of us to work on. But we got Christians trying to eliminate other Christians and lie and distort and assassinate character. If I can just get the folks, I'll let everybody know how to put their light on, then maybe they'll see me. No. We want to affect the world for Jesus Christ. And that's going to take all of our lights. Now, with that said, Acts 26, verse 12, count of Paul. Conversion on the road to Damascus, where he received letter to go and persecute the church, and he is giving that account. Wherefore, when I went to Damascus with authority and commission, the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw a way in the way, a light. Now, look at this, from heaven, above the brightness of the sun. Now, did y'all hear that? Above the brightness of the sun. How many of you know the sun is bright? I'm trying to show you how magnificent the glory of God is when Jesus, his glory outshines the sun because it was his glory that made the sun. He was there in the beginning. He's magnificent. Ain't nothing too hard for God to do. He said, I saw a brightness above the brightness of the sun shining around about me. To them which journeyed with me. And when I was falling to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, that's before he got converted. We know he was Saul the destroyer, but he became Paul the peacemaker. Saul, Saul, why kick thou? It's hard to kick against a prick. And he said, who art thou, O Lord? And he said, I am Jesus. Good God Almighty, whom thou persecuted. Out shines the sun. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, watch this, for this purpose. Now, he's going to define Paul's purpose and minister right here. He said, for this purpose, to make thee, first of all, a minister and a witness, both of these things that thou hast seen and those things in which I will appear unto thee. delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I will now send thee. Make a note of that. Before you can be delivered to the people, you got to get delivered from people. People bondage. If you're going to be a man, you're going to help anybody. You got to quit worrying about, I don't want mama then to be upset. I don't want my cousin. I don't want my wife. I would praise the Lord, but my girlfriend is with me, and I don't want to think I'm crazy. You with the wrong, you got to get delivered from people. You're never going to be able to be a servant of Christ. Because he said, I have delivered you from the people and from the Gentiles. Now, I'm not talking about just going around being abrasive and being, just repugnant and just, offending people. I ain't talking about that. I'm just saying if you're going to please God somewhere, you're going to realize you can't please people. When God called me out of the largest Baptist church in this city, And I had revelation. The only reason that, because that's where I grew up, I got saved, born again, and I realized, oh my God, I thought everybody was going to be happy. I mean, they were praying for me to get born again. I was on drugs, alcohol, dope, everybody, let's pray for me. Clara did, son. And when I got saved, they treated me like I had leprosy. Because I wanted to lay hands on the sick. I was speaking in tongues. I was doing stuff that wasn't in the BTU guide. And I had to make a choice. I had light. Either I was going to follow the Bible or try to please people. And there are a lot of people. I'll go a little deeper while I'm on this. Lord, I don't want to go too deep. That's being controlled by people that don't even know it. It's called witchcraft. Controlling spirits. You can't do nothing yourself because you think it's going to bleed. That's right. And some of them don't even know it's a ride. They got soul ties. I love mama. I love my sisters. I love mama. They'll tell you when I got saved, I left them in that big old church and left. Because I wasn't even worried about what they thought about me. Are you listening to me? And here he said, I got to deliver you from the people, Paul. And when Paul got born again and received this call, and I can show you Galatians chapter 1, he says, wait, when God revealed to me that I should preach him among the heathen, he said, I didn't confer with flesh and blood. You never heard about Paul's mama and daddy ever again. You know why? He had to forsake them. It's going to cost you something to follow God. You're going to have to get delivered from people. I like to bring out little nuggets. Because some of you right now, I would join the church, but my best friend. Listen, you better get delivered from people. You better learn how to obey God. He says, listen. He says, delivering thee from the people. Now he's going to define his purpose. To whom I will send thee to do what? Here's the purpose. To open their eyes. Light. And turn them from darkness to what? Light. And from the power of Satan to who? Unto who? God, that they may receive. Another important statement. Notice it said that they may be forgiven. They may receive forgiveness of sin. And their inheritance. God has inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in me. He said, to let them, that they may receive. That they may receive. It didn't say that they may be forgiven. Do you know God has forgiven everybody on the whole planet? When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and paid the price. The price has been paid. What do you say this morning? While you out on the street, every drug addict, liar, murder, whoremonger, whatever, thief, perverted person there is. They don't have to be forgiven. They need to receive forgiveness. Because the day that blood was shed, God counted as righteous and said their sins and iniquities. Anybody that received that blood, praise God. I'm not holding nothing. And see, that's not the message I heard. I heard God was mad at me. It's just a matter of people to understand you're already forgiven. If you die and go to hell, it ain't on God, it's on you. Someone said, I wouldn't serve a God just sending people to hell. Just sending people to hell. Listen, if you go to hell, you made your own reservations. Because God says, hey, you rejected Jesus. You never received forgiveness. Price was there. So I wanted to bring out those truths. But notice the purpose. I made you a minister of light to turn people in darkness into light. And from the power of the devil to the power of God. So let's just give you a little couple of things here. Darkness represents then ignorance and deception. You just don't know. There's willful ignorance, and there are people, when light comes, you got to make a decision. And people in darkness can be deceived. Huh? Why do you think thieves wait the nighttime to try to break in something? No light. I mean, this ain't deep stuff. A lot of stuff happened in darkness. Deception. If you don't, if you don't know healing belongs to you, if you don't know that you have inheritance in God and your eyes have been closed to by religion and through religious people, then you can be deceived. You can be deceived. I mean, I didn't know that the Holy Ghost was a gift after I got saved, so they told me I had to tarry at the altar, and I was begging and this, and they were slapping me, G, and all this, say G, and my tongue was getting dry, and I was tired. I'm like, I'm going to get it. They were waiting on me to do something, and people were throwing like lightning bolts at my feet, and, oh, you almost got it. And all the time, Luke 11:13 says, if you been even know how to give good gifts, how much shall you give the Holy Ghost those of that? See, I didn't know. See, so my job is as a minister of light, about the Holy Ghost, about your finance, about your healing, that light come. Because God don't want you in darkness. He don't want you to be able to be deceived. And I'll show you scripture I'm talking about here, Acts 17:23. It says, as I passed by, Paul said, I beheld your devotions and I found an altar to this inscription. Now they were worship to the unknown God, whom they did what? Ignorantly worship. God wants you to know him, not be ignorantly worshiping him through religion. And so these people were being deceived. You got to know God for yourself. You need light. You need understanding. Now, go back to the other part. And so that's what light represents, vision. Like I was talking about, you know, I mean, have you ever got up in the middle of the night, had to use the bathroom, but you weren't at home, you was in some motel or you was in the resort? You didn't move quick if you're smart. Because you can't go by the memory and you forgot you wasn't at home and you didn't have the vision. And all it takes is that little toe is going to remind you you are not at home on that nightstand. Why? You didn't have vision. You didn't know where he's going. And so light represents vision and understanding. Then you begin to understand that that toes are thought, oh yeah, I forgot. We on vacation. I'm at so-and-so resort. And so once you have vision, like I said, like that fall, you can move quickly. God wants you to have vision and understand. So really, I wanted to show you when Paul talked about minister of light. Look right here, both of these in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy word does what? Bring light and give you understanding. Church is not so much about information, but about transformation. That's why I want people to understand. God called me as a minister of light because I used to be so frustrated because I used to sit where you sat and almost went to hell because I came to church. I couldn't understand nothing no one was saying. I didn't have, so I was in darkness. I was being deceived. Those same people that are trying to tell me I needed a tarot for the Holy Ghost said, come back every night. And I was paying $20 a night. That's why they wanted me to come back, because if I would have got it, they would have, he would be, he's paying $20 a night. I'm paying more. I wanted that holy. I thought you could buy. So they say, you ain't got it yet. Then about the middle of the week, my feet started. And they said, you got it in your feet, but you got to get the rest of it. See, darkness. I didn't know. Yeah, and you open for deception. So I was frustrated as when I really got saved and read my Bible, God has told me, man, he said, I want people to get light and understanding. You can't use something that you don't understand. I don't care what you got. You have an iPhone, all that. You have the technology. You have all this stuff. You don't understand how to use it. And you know how we are. We don't like to read instructions. We just want to start doing stuff. You don't even understand it. You just start mashing buttons. Ignorance. That's why some of you right now, it's been 30 years, you still got the light blinking on the recorder. All you get, you won't set your clock because you don't understand how to do it. So you just said, that was some of you laugh because you just seen that thing blinking. Like, man, I do need to set that. But every time I try, It's called a manual. The Bible is our manual about life. And my job is not to get you shot. My job is, and when people tell me the reason they enjoy it, because I begin to understand, I can grow here. That's what it's all about. We've been called to bring light to the world. And then you take that light and you go help people. You go back to your neighborhood. You go back. And that's one thing we all have lights. Praise God. God don't want you to deceive. And so Paul then defined his purpose. Paul's purpose was defined to open blinded eyes and turn on by turning on the light. What is that? Turning on the word. You can't lead people, give light to other people till you come out of the darkness. We'll look at that. If the blind lead the blind, and that's been part of the problem. We just got people thinking just to all the church, get up, cause it's about money, it's about this, have no revelation of God, no light, no understanding of the word themselves, and trying to pass the congregation. And so people are being deceived. People are being hurt. People don't understand. People are dying early. People don't know about God want them blessed and want them to come out of debt. And he wants you to have a debt-free life and sowing and reaping and about the how to get the Holy Ghost properly. All of that. See, you become a candidate for deception when you don't have light. Amen. Satan is called the prince of darkness. And Paul, he said, I've called you. And it's not in there, but you can read it in Acts chapter 9. It's amazing how God both did in the natural the same thing. We're talking about light. People, when he said to call them out of darkness and give them the light, we're talking about, of course, spiritual blindness. When he's talking about open up blinded eyes, spiritual blind and natural eyes. Because later on, after the same account, you read it in Acts 9, guess what? Paul was blinded. God said, I'm going to let you experience what it is to be in darkness. He was converted right after then. The Bible said they had to take him by the hand. He said, it'll be told you what to do. Go down to a street called Straight. And for 3 days and 3 nights, since he was blinded. Can you imagine that? And he said, there it'll be told you. Then God speaks to Ananias and said, there's wait one Paul. You go lay your hands on him. He said, he's done much on me. He said, no, he's a vessel unto me. And he walks in, lay hands on him, and he receives his sight. So it's hard to preach something that you haven't experienced yourself. Are you listening to me? People that never had babies, they're insensitive. People go through the pain of having one. Gary, don't take all that holly. You better get her out of here. We need sensitivity. And so God is setting Paul up. He said, this is your purpose, to open the eyes. How you do it? By the word. Entrance of that word will be light and understanding. That's the most important thing. With all getting the book of Proverbs, get an understanding. I love to shout, I love to sing, I love the choir, I love me, I love all that. But understanding is what I'm after. So when I leave here and when the devil comes in the middle of the week, I got that word. I know how to rebuke him. I know how to stand on the word of God. I know how to stand for my healing. I know how that we're not wrestling with flesh and blood. But if you're in darkness, light, revelation. That's our purpose. Praise God. And then you got to walk in the light once it's revealed. A lot of people see the light. They know the light, but I don't want to walk in the light. Why? You know why. I ain't ready to change. That's why you got to, you know what God will do? God deals with us in obscurity. I've noticed a pattern of God. I've been in the ministry. I'm not a novice. I've been almost 50 years down in ministry. You know what God does? He works on us in that cocoon and die. Because he tried to work all of those things out. Because God, when you do come to the light, some of you can't handle the people going to be watching you. And your character got to be, your attitude. You think you're ready for the light. And you still got that jealousy. You think you're ready for the light. Still got that offense. So what God does, he works us in the back room with the word. Praise God. He's preparing us because when he bring you to the light is not just for you. It's the leader of the people. You're going to have to be an example, Paul, to all the Gentiles. You're going to, and so I got to work on you. That's why Paul didn't start preaching then. Read your Bible. He went to Arabia because he was extreme in his doctrine. He was religious. He was a member of the Sanhedrin court, Hebrews of his, Aristotle. I'm talking about, my God, he was a Rhodes Scholar, but it was all religion. And he went to Arabia. He went to the desert for 3 years and didn't preach, didn't do anything, but let God work all that religion out of him. Because he understands, when I do go forth, praise God, I'm going to have to bring it and get his character straight. And worked on all that offense, even his own personal life. Right. Devil had tried to condemn him. You can't preach now. You main Christian. You did this and tried to bring up his past. Come on. Come on. God told him, if any man be in Christ, you're a new creature. That ain't on your record. Old things are passed away. Go for it, boy. Bring light to the people. God know who to put on the stage, on the bright stage. Too many times we want to run up there like Peter. Jesus began to talk about, I got to die and go to the cross. Oh, no, Lord. He began to rebuke Jesus. That's bold. Not so, Lord. Do all others forsake you? Not me. He thought he was ready for the big stage. I'll go with you wherever. He said, Peter. Isn't it amazing how God just loves us? He said, before the day is over, you're going to deny me 3 times. Not only did he deny him, he started cursing and swearing. There are some cussing Christians. So the fact that he was cussing, no, he wasn't ready for the light. You got to get the book of cuss worked out of. So what I'm just trying to say, we are all work in progress. You walk in the light of what God has showed you. Maybe someone else ain't seen that yet. Pray for them. Well, we're going to get into something. I got a lot to say this morning. So I will. I believe I will this morning. I got the whole year. So before you are delivered, let me reiterate what I said. Before you are delivered to people, in other words, brought to the light, you must first be what? Delivered from people. Okay? A lot of time, well, I'm ready to go. Lord, send me. Lord, I want to do this. Lord, okay, that's some things you need to get delivered from. And then Jeremiah 1:7-8 says this. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I'm a child. Well, thou shalt go to all the place I shall what? Send thee. He said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. But before I send you, I'm going to get you delivered from the people. He says, you'll go where I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command, thou shalt speak. But notice verse 8. But be not afraid of their faces, for I will be with you to deliver you. From who? The people. Some of y'all don't know how y'all look. It's a blind spot. We're going to talk about that. Y'all just see me preaching. All that. But I got to look at y'all faces. And people will sometimes try to control you with their faces. I ain't saying no one here doing it. But you know, people get mad. They come in like, open your Bible to the book of James. I ain't doing nothing. And then look at you like, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it ain't how they look at you. Sometimes it's just that their uninterested expressions. I've looked out there and seen people falling off cliffs, sleep. I'm like, why did they come? They should have just got some rest. And all of those are strife. But you know what? I'm delivered from the people. I love you. I don't care how you look at me. Whether you clap, don't clap. You can say amen, no man. I'm glad. Because I had to get delivered from people before I could be delivered to people. And when you want to please people more than God, you can never be the servant of God. That's my next scripture here. Look what. And this is a quote from the Apostle Paul. He said, now, am I trying to win the favor of men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I'm still seeking popularity, I'm not care if I be on your top 10 list. Who your top 10 preacher? Well, it ain't real did. I don't care because I ain't seeking popularity with you. I want to do the will of God. I ain't trying to please my mama, my sister, my brother. No. Now, if I plead, great. But if I'm still seeking popularity with men, I can't be the servant of Christ. You can't do them both. You got to get delivered from people. And there are some people who mama is still controlling them. Son is still controlling. There are people that got married and the in-laws controlling the marriage. And they live out in California and they live here in North Carolina. But every week, he painted the room blue. Dang, that's crazy. You tell them. And you got to do what mama say and daddy say. That's why the Bible says before you get married, and I hit on everything here because I got to bring light. Some of you ain't ready for marriage because you haven't broken emotional dependence off of your parents. You still daddy's girl and mama's boy. Then you get married. Mama, bubba, mama cooked it this way. Mama did this. And mama always, well, I ain't your mama. You didn't marry your mama. We love her. And I ain't good. I burned the biscuit, but do you want them or not? Bible says, for this cause, a man shall leave father and mother, and two shall become one flesh. That word leave don't just mean to geographically leave them. It means to break one's emotional dependency. When I married my wife, I didn't marry all her sisters and all them. And whatever y'all did with her before she became my wife, it's different now. There's a new sheriff in town. Oh, yeah. See what I'm talking about? You're going to get me in trouble. But no, I'm going to tell you the truth. I got to bring light. They used to take my George car and drive it everywhere. Whoever calling it back, George, all right, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to run here. And so after we got married, I told him, y'all name is not on our insurance. You ain't driving her car. Wasn't too popular, but I had to bring light. That's what I'm saying. You got to get delivered from people. And there are going to be things God's going to require you to do. Just your mama, your cousin, your best friend is not going to understand. And you're going to have to make a decision. I'm not going to walk in the light, the revelation. I've had to leave. I left churches. I've had to let people go. We're going to get into all of this. The hold on the light is going to cause you something. And I love them all, but I don't love you more than Jesus. I would love for everybody to love me. To know me is to love me. But if you don't know me, by now, you will never know. Well, anyway, let me slide back. Go to Mark's Gospel. Chapter 8. How many of you learned something already? That's the first step in doing the will of God. It might be in Pumpkin. Where you going? Oh, that dick, sir. Look at the disrespect. Ain't pastor this. And see, you know what? They don't know me. People think they know you, don't know you. But it's going to be a price. It's like, oh, yeah, I hear. Yeah, but you need to go and get saved. I'm not trying to be popular with men. When I'm at the end of this thing, I want to hear Jesus say, well done. Not you. You may never give me my props. Jesus, well done. You preached the word. You fed my flock. You brought understanding. You healed the sick. You raised the dead. You affected lives. You went on the television. There are people all over the world you helped. So well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I make you rule over much. In the end, into the joy. That's all I'm live for. Now, in the process of that, you begin to like me and preach. Great. But I'm not seeking popularity. Now look at Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. We're talking about, I can see clearly now. Paul was called to help people see clear. And you don't have to do nothing. Try to remove the darkness. Just switch on the light. You know why some people don't want to turn on the light? Because there's dirt. Some of you ain't been in your closet for years, and you don't go in there. You hide stuff. You just keep piling stuff in there. When people come, that's the last place you want them to, oh, no, go this way. No. Nah, what's in that closet? I'll get in that. Okay. But God knows the thoughts and intents of our heart. Let me move on. Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Y'all with me? We're talking about I can see clearly now. And we're talking about, well, what impairs our vision? What obstructs our vision? Look at Mark 8, and let's look at verse 22. And when he was coming to Bethsaida, they bring unto him a blind man unto him. And they besought him to touch him. Watch this. And he, Jesus, took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. He said, I'm not doing nothing. I got to get you out of this environment first. A lot of time we can't see because of the environment we're in. They said, why won't he let him? First thing he did is he took him by the hand. Sometimes you got to grab God by the hand and walk alone. Because this man was known in his hometown. And I don't know why Jesus knew he couldn't be. Maybe it was a familiarity. You get too familiar. Everyone can see God in life except people who think they know you. They're in his own town. He could do no mighty work because they were too familiar. It's not this Joseph boy, Mary's son. And there were none again. There he couldn't do nothing because he was too familiar. Sometimes you got to get out of that environment. Sometimes you got to get out of your little hometown church. I know I had to get out of my environment where I was at in order to bring light because they did not receive. And I'm not mad at no one. I did it right. I went to my pastor and said, I got to go. I didn't know where, but I took him by the hand. Come on, son. And you walk by faith and not by, he's got to, he's blind. See, sometimes you want something from God. You got to leave your familiar people, your familiar surroundings, who you grew up with. He took him by the hand. If that wouldn't have got you, this next one would. And next thing he did, and when he spit in his eye, can you imagine that? Jesus spit in a man's eye. I know. Especially when you got grits. Grits in your mouth, you had grits for breakfast. Still a. See, some of you would have. He spit on me. See, you wouldn't have got your healing. See, you got, when you desperate, you want something from God, you got to trust him. Now, he spit. And he put his hands upon him. And he asked him, how do you see? He looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. I ain't there yet. I see something, but it's distorted. Couldn't see clearly. See, that's why you got to keep getting the word. Just because you see something today, I got more to say about it. We think we get it all. You don't get it all. You got to stay with it. You got to stay with your healing. Healing is a process. Hallelujah. Change is a process. God wants you to see clearly. Keep going. And after that, he put his hands again on his eyes and made him to look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. Say, I can see clearly now. See, we try to judge people with distorted vision. And we can't even see clear. Huh? Have anyone ever came to you, you didn't even know them, and prejudged someone in your eye and talking about, now, girl, let me tell you about her. Let me tell you about him. They ain't never wear a nickel, wear a dog meat, and they ain't this and that, and they're, nah, 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 nah. And then when you meet that person, you're already distorted because you're looking at them through the filter of someone else's word. They can be the greatest person in the world. But you can't see clearly because you have allowed your spirit to be contaminated with gossip. You got to protect your heart. And I stand up here, that's what I want to know about all. If God wants me to know something about me, he'll tell me. Amen. But if I get too familiar with you, and this happened, I've been through the wood, and this happened, and all that, and all. That's why I want my relationship to be with you, the word of God. Amen. That's why sometimes I can't stand. And I'm glad we first class now, because I know my wife's going to be, but you have got on plane somewhere, where are you going? The plane ticket say from here to Dallas. I guess the plane, same place you going. I ain't trying to be funny. Yeah, who you know is on day one? You trying to rest and talk. They just talking. Yeah, me and my, yeah. I used to be married. I ain't married no more. I've been remarried. But now me and my ex and all the kids, we still go. I don't want to hear all that. And they said, you try to do it. And then you take your earplugs and put it in their hand. Too much information. Like we gonna meet one another and go and start every year be on the same plane. I don't. And so that's why sometimes you gotta get out of your environment. Because people who think they know nothing about you. Jesus said a prophet is without honor except in his own country. He went down to Capernaum, healed the sick, raised the dead. In his own town, he could do no matter. You know why? They thought they knew too much about him. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So it's going to cost you something. Let's read this on Amplified before I bring out my points here. I'm just teaching. I'm trying to heal. I'm trying to bring light. Because God's going to call you. You're going to have to make some decisions. Some of you had to make some decisions to come to this church. And not that I'm trying to solicit. Man, I don't have to do that. I ain't never told nobody they had to do nothing. If you want to join. If you don't, fine. You can sit the rest of you. Or go for it. That ain't my job. The Lord adds to this church such as be saved, not me. Because if I start promising you, son, the minute that you don't get what I promised, you're going to go, well, my season is up. Pastor, I thank God for everything. I done heard that before, about that season being up. He came to Bethesda, and the people bought him a blind man. So obviously he knew these people and people knew him. I don't think just anyone grabbed a blind man. See, familiarity. Sometimes you got to separate from that. And the Bible said they begged Jesus to touch him. But Jesus had to discern something. Discernment is so important. It's always, well, there's something wrong here. This man can't be healed. If I do this, so and so. And notice the next thing Jesus did. He called the blind man by the hand and led him out of that village. He said, I got to get you out of this church. I got to get you out of this. You're away from your dad. I got to get myself out because they don't receive me. A lot of people are not willing to make adjustments. Because they want to be familiar. They don't want to change nothing, but they want the power of God. He led him out, and when he spat on his eyes, he put his hand upon him, and he asked him, do you possibly see anything? He looked up and said, I see people, but they look like trees walking. Well, that's a starting point. See, some people stop right there. Well, I can see better than I could. Let God finish the work. No, but I couldn't see nothing. Well, I can see trees. That's better than nothing. I thank you, Lord. When I rose this morning, I had a reasonable portion of my health. To me, if I ain't got it all, that's unreasonable. I want my sight. I want my health. I want my healing. I want an amen. He says, he put his hand again, and the man looked intently, and he fixed his eyes. He focused on a definite object, and he was restored and saw everything distinctly, even that was a far distance. In other words, he had near sight and far sight. You know how some of us are. He can see stuff away, and he can see stuff close. But notice what Jesus had to do. He had to do what? Get him out of bed. What is my point? Sometimes the wrong environment or relationships can distort your vision. That's why you can't see clear. Your best friend, who you run with. The atmosphere, the home you're in, your relationship. Who you spend with. Who's your buddy, who's your brother. Iron sharpened in iron. I don't want somebody I got to fight for and always try to convince them I'm anointed. And I got to be, listen, when you're on your way to the cross, you want people who know you to be going with you. Because, man, they're sticking me in my side with the spear. Person, that ain't the time to wonder, is this the Christ? And the more you move toward Calvary, the smaller your circle of friends become. To be honest with you, in a lifetime, you may only have one, possibly two, real covenant friends. Amen. in a lifetime. It's been proven. Amen. Young people are in college, especially you in grade school. Don't spend the rest of your life trying to impress folks that you ain't gonna never know 20 years from now. And that's what they do. It's called peer pressure. You're controlling decisions and doing this and that. The rest about folks you ain't even gonna know 20 years from now. So sometimes wrong environment or relationship can distort your vision. You say, where you get that from? The Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:33. So don't be deceived. See, we think, well, I wasn't drinking. I wasn't lying. I wasn't listening to the gossip. You know, I wasn't gossiping. Well, you were listening to other people gossip about me. So if you're comfortable, and that's another thing. If you can be comfortable allowing someone to degrade, put down, assassinate someone else's character who you call your friend. And just because you didn't say nothing, but you didn't stop them either. So if you're on the middle of the fence, you're really on their side. And that's the now you are infected. You have allowed them to put junk in you. Good or bad. Because you didn't have enough courage to stand up and say, hold it. Bless God, that's my pastor. I ain't gonna say, you take your drive, you better shut your mouth. I happen to know the man of God. That's why I got healed. I got delivered. And then I'm not going to sit here and you'll never touch my hair again if you put down my man and my woman of God, because that's why I got healed. That's, come on. But you keep on going around because there again, you're being controlled by people. Don't be deceived. You keep letting folks show junk in you, listen to junk, run, let's have coffee. And every time it's always something negative. They're always putting down, criticizing, trying to destroy someone's character. Don't be deceived. And you think it ain't affecting you? He said, even companionships, communions, who are your associates? Who you run with? Ain't talking about when you're here smiling. Who you spend most time on the phone? What's your conversation? He said, it will corrupt and frame good men. That's why Jesus had to get him out of that environment. It was something wrong there. And said, if you're going to get your healing, we can't do it here. Hallelujah. You ain't going to be able to get your sight here. Praise God. Because these people have distorted your vision. And some people ain't even ready for you to change. Particularly when your change and your vision become greater than theirs. People want you to stay where they are. If we live in this condo, let's just stay here. Why you want to build a new house with 8 rooms? Well, what you want that for? Because it's going to have 3 bathrooms. I got one here and I ain't got to wait. See, growth, by growing, you find out who your real friends are. Long as I look wrong, lead down, nobody care. I had friends that were, but all of a sudden when God called me out and gave me light, I began to walk with God and stuff began to happen and buildings began to go up. And oh, hey, is that this? Yeah, he prayed. That's the same boy. The friends, my circle of friends narrowed, but I don't care. That's just the price you pay. Put up another scripture. I think I had another. You remember Abraham? Did you know Abraham's father was into, his name was Terah, and he was into the stars and zodiacs and all that stuff? You know some of y'all talking about, are you a Pisces or a Gemini? Don't come up with me that mess. Yeah, I'm a Pisces, called Gemini, and Pisces, they don't get along, but I do good with a Cancer. Someone say, well, what's my horoscope? Horror? That stuff is of the devil. You letting a witch gonna tell your future. Talking about, let me read my horoscope. And that's what Abraham's daddy was in. Now, watch, I want you to catch, son, because I'm a teacher. The Lord had said. This ain't the first time. Some of you, God done spoke to you already about leave him alone. Leave her alone. You still laying your head in Delilah's lap. Playing games. It's going to cost you something. God will warn you. The Lord had said. Cut off. Cut him off. Cut that relationship off. That's toxic. We're talking about light. Because God was trying to show Abraham something. But he was so familiar with his daddy and Lot and family wanted to please everyone, he couldn't see it. His vision wasn't started. So the Lord had said to Abraham, get out from your country. Get out from your kinfolks. And from your father's house. There's something wrong up in there. See, now he was rich though. And there was a natural inheritance that was waiting on Abraham as the firstborn. Huh? But God had something bigger. And a lot of times we let the glitz and the bling bling blind us. Because we see opportunity. And the Bible says, and I'm just going to tell you, Abram was 75 years old. That's pretty old to be laid up in there in your daddy's house. Beard. Down to your chest. Until land what? I will show you. Say, he was trying to show him something, but he couldn't see clearly, could he? Look at the next verse. He said, I'll make of thee a great nation. You think Terah blessing you? Let me tell you something. And by the fact, the name Terah means delay. He was being held, delayed. Some of you being delayed. God didn't give you clear instructions about where you should be, what to, because he's trying to show you something bigger and better than where you are right now. But you can't see clearly. He said, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee and I'll make your name great and you will be able, you're going to be blessed to dispense good to others. That's why God wants you to have more. Not to hoard up, but to be a blessing. And notice the response. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken. Really? And Lot went with him. Oh, Lot. Who's Lot? That's his nephew. That's Abraham, bro. He's take. What did God tell him? Get away from who? Ken, folks, say, why? Lot is trouble. Lot can be a person. Lot can be a thing. Lot can be addiction. You're trying to hold on to something that's impairing your vision. And the name Lot means obstructed view. Some of you trying to break. And see, everybody ain't called to go where God's trying to take you. You might have to walk alone. You might have to walk alone. Just take Jesus by the hand and become a barefooted priest and say, Lord, I acknowledge thee and all that. Well, wherever you direct me, I'll walk if I have to walk alone. If I have to leave mama, daddy, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, because I want to please you more than anyone else. Yes, sir. And Lot went with them, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed. Whole thing laid up in there. Now notice, I ain't got time to tell you, but because he brought Lot with him, Lot was covetous, Lot was about money, Lot was about, he got into strife with Abraham. And finally, in the next chapter, Genesis 13, I say I wanted Genesis 13 and 14. But that's good. We'll get right to the point. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot was separated, he finally separated himself. That's what he says from him. Lift up now thine eyes. Look from the place where thou art. Look to the north. Look to the south. Look to the east. Look to the west. And as far as you can see, for the land I will give thee, he says, for all the land I will give thee, as far as you can see, vision. That's why some of us can't see clearly what God is trying to give you, because you're trying to take somebody with you that is not designed for your destiny. It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to get out. You have to get in the right environment. That's why many of you have thought you was doing this and that and this and joining church and God was, you were relocating all the time. God was trying to put you here because this is a ministry of light, because he knows this is where you're going to strike your destiny. Are you listening to me? Praise God. I need vision. If we live in a day that there was ever dark, oh my God, you're talking about darkness. You know what? We never put up, I never share it. Go back to Paul's defined purpose. Was open up blind eyes to that scripture, Isaiah. It'll be in Isaiah 2:3. Let me just hit on that. Remember that? And I never expounded. He said, but behold, darkness should cover there. This is why we need light. Man, this is a dark time. People are dying. People are being murdered. Our young people, drugs, alcohol, in this social media thing, we're seeing division. We're seeing wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing all types of collapse of systems. We're seeing political violence. Darkness has covered the earth. And gross darkness, the people of the earth. That's why they're looking for light. But the Lord shall rise upon you, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, those without God, will come to your light. The people on your job looking for light. The people bound by drugs, alcohol, looking for light. The people that are broken and bruised and just giving up, committing suicide, looking for light. But gross darkness, they turn on the television. Wars, rumors of wars, hatred, political violence. This group against that group. Murder, rape, police captain shot. Robbery. Satan is called the ruler of the darkness of this world. And he want to rule. And God says, I need some light bearers. I need some ministers of light. And you ain't got to shout. You ain't got to jump. You ain't got to wear a 30-pound cross or a 52-pound Bible. It's your light that's going to shine. Your life. I don't care about your, you come to work and got a cross around your neck this big. You're trying to make your light shine. He said, let it. Walk in there. Got a big old white Bible. 3 feet by 3 feet. Weighing 25 pounds. On your car, honk if you love Jesus. You ain't got to make it. Paul said we're living epistles ready and all. How you love, how you walk, how you can walk in a restaurant and never say a word. It happens to me all the time. My wife is a witness. We was out at Aragala. I ain't said one word. We're just walking in, and I don't never dress like this. I got my hoodie on, man. My Under Armour shoes. My Nike hat. But you can't hide it. We had a table. It's a couple. And the guy picked it up. You're a man of God, ain't you? I said, yep. Wasn't talking about church. Didn't have no cross. Because there's the fruit of the Spirit would emanate. They might be at church. Because they said they're coming. They went on the internet. I said, pull us up. Oh, wow. Endifer. Wow. Light. Never said a word. Never wore a cross. Never brought up Jesus. Never threatened anyone, you know. You're going to hell, boy, if you. Then other people begin to find out what was going on. I remember I was at Hobby Lobby one time. I ain't coming in with no cross. I was just under the anointing. Under the anointing. And the cash register lady, and said, will you pray for me? I just need prayer for you. I said, of course. Now, I ain't one of these folks who remember you. If you ask me to pray for you, I'm going to pray for you right there because I might forget you later. Remember me. So I started grabbing the hand and I started praying. I wasn't hollering, in the name of Jesus, everybody in the store. I was just praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, she said she was going to have surgery. I thank you, your hand is upon the physician's hand. I thank you, the surgery's successful. I thank you for speeding up the healing process. Amen. When I said amen, God is my witness. There were about 5 other people who had bowed their head and they all said amen, amen, amen. That anointing went on. I'm just trying to tell you, I ain't said a word. Because when you got the fruit of the Spirit that was in Jesus, love, joy, these things emanate out of you. That's why people throw on Jesus. That's why people just wanted to touch him. Because that anointing, he wasn't, didn't have no cross and no sign. They had the anointing. But sometimes the environment you're in. Gross darkness Looking, people looking for light, man. People are desperate for light. How you get all these drugs? How you get delivered? How you get out of debt? How, revelation. Okay, I'm almost done. Am I making sense? Okay, all right. So, Satan hates the light, God's word. Remember the interest of that word being light and understand. Because you're going to understand. You ain't going to leave here talking about, I don't know what he said. You get that? No, you'll use a lie. You know what I said. I mean, I ain't calling you a lie, but you know what I'm saying. You are kind of lying. You just don't want to change. That's why everybody won't come to church, because it's going to just too much light over there. I just won't go to a hoop and holler in church where I can just be religious and still beat on my girlfriend and do drugs and then. But somewhere around there, you know what I'm talking about. People, everybody ain't ready to change. And so Satan hates light, God's word, because it removes darkness, blinders from people's eyes. 2 Corinthians 4:13. If our gospel be hid, what is the gospel? Good news. So what do you do? How do you hide this gospel? Religion. He imitate God. You join a club, and you get on the Willie the Hip Club and the Busy Bee Circle and the Missionary Circle number 4. You don't even know Jesus. You don't know nothing, but you're in all of these clubs, and I'm going to be this, and I'm the head, I'm the chairperson over the so-and-so's the 13th anniversary choir, and I'm calling, can you come, and all this. I'm the leading chairperson, and I'm over the so-and-so committee. You and all of these, don't even know the Lord. And people call that the gospel, because people got to steep and whatever, and I'm not knocking nobody, but the gospel changes lives. And Satan don't care about religious churches, because they don't have the anointing to change lives. So he said, if our gospel, it is hid to them that are lost. Why are they lost? They're in darkness. Whom the God of this world blinds their mind with religion. Just be good. Don't bother nobody. Drink, but just don't get drunk. I'm telling you stuff I heard in my church that I came. God understands your heart. Religion. Religious songs that don't change life. I was full of it. And I thought, and see, a lot of people come to church. They don't meet God. They meet religion. And so Satan hides the gospel. Why? He blinds their mind with what? Darkness. Let's them that believe not. And that ain't just talking about sinners. There are unbelieving Christians who don't believe in healing, don't believe in prosperity. He just blinds their mind. I know, because that's who fought me the most. And that is who fought Jesus most. It was the scribes and Pharisees. Sinners love me to this day. Because they respect me. Because I took time with them. And Joyce will tell you, in the early days, I've had drug addicts on crack that would come knock on my door 3 a.m. William Dillon's here. Not here, there's not. He was one of them. He got sick and tired. He was losing his marriage, losing his house, his home. His wife said, you better do something. Because, I mean, his whole life was falling apart. And he called me 3 a.m. And I got up, and I picked him up, drove around and preached to him, got him born again. We went to the church. He got filled with the Holy Ghost in the old church, and that's been over 25 years, and he's still back there. Why? People looking for light. How you get out of this? He says, lest the light, Lord, help me, which is the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should do what? Shine to them. What is the glorious gospel of Christ? It's the what? Image of God. The image of God. It's the true image. We got distorted image. People, listen. That's what all the young people been caught up with, images. When in my days, to help you before we go to the rappers, I ain't going to call names. I know I ain't supposed to do all that. But you know who all our rappers are. Well, if rap wasn't big back when we call the only rapper we had was Pick Me Monka. Hear ye, Dakota Swain. Just about ready to do that thing. Don't want no hip, don't want no lie, but all the don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line, this court is neat. Peace, brother. Whoa, here come the judge. Here come the judge. I go to Paris, stop the wall. I ain't got time. Y'all don't know. See, he ain't saying, yes, I am. But today is different. You can make money saying nothing. Why? Why? Images and our young people and all the rappers and this. Got them. They don't know their true image. We have an identity crisis. I thought the same thing. I thought in my day, John Shaft, who is the man that would give himself for a brother man, Shaft, hush your mouth. I wanted to be the Superfly. Woo! If you live, Freddy's dead. I was blind. Don't look at me like that. You were doing the same thing. Because you didn't know who you were supposed to be. Why? The gospel being here, the true image, I couldn't see. That's why I call amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved the rest like I was lost. I was a blind, but now you can see. I can see clearly now. I'm trying to help somebody here. And Satan has you chasing distorted images. And all the time, God wanted you to be like him. You was created in the image of God. Huh? So he hides it. Did I have a script? What was that? Just put it back up so I know what to do. Because my mind got, okay. Okay, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Okay, that's it. So what the devil does, he don't want you to come to church like this. He's like, oh no, don't go over there. They're going to ask for your money. They got an ATM machine. Will y'all show me that machine? I done heard that lie. Anything. Because the devil's shaking his boots. Because if you find out who you really created to be and your true image, it scares him. Religion don't have any power to change you. Now, let me close. Look at Luke 6. I'm going to go a little deeper with this. So there's an identity crisis. Young people don't know who they are. In my day, I thought Shaft. You couldn't get no better than Shaft. He was cool. Fro, women. The lie that all young people fall for, they're making it rain. Lamborghini, women all over. Now I don't have to call the guys. That's all you see. And they think, if I can just get the reference. And most of them die early. I will throw some names out. I ain't crazy. Pop Smoke, go. Young Dolph, go. Nipsey Hussle, go. I don't care how it look. It's the wrong image. Are you listening to me? I'm going to get someone's attention here. Why? They couldn't see clear. I was blinded by the God of this world. Therefore, I was open for deception and ignorance. But Luke 3:6, I got to come home. Got to come home. Am I making sense? Okay. All right, coach. All right. Look at Luke 6. Look at verse 39 through 42. Look at, and I'm reading the front amplified only. Going to read a little different than yours. And further, he told them a proverb. Can a blind man guide and direct a blind man? Will they not both stumble in a ditch or in a hole in the ground? A pupil is never superior to his teacher. But everyone, when he is completely trained, readjusted, restored, set to rights, and perfected, will be like his teacher. In other words, he's trying to say that there are blind teachers who want to lead others. Watch. So why do you see a speck? A speck, a toothpick, a little dot. And watch this. So why do you see a speck in your brother's eye, but you can't notice or consider the beam of timber? Dog, I went mad ahead of law. You try. Man did need to quit preaching, so, and sister did it. You got a log in your eye. How you missing that? Distorted view. But you're going to straighten out everybody else. You can see stuff. Isn't it amazing how we can see stuff in everybody else's life, but we have blind spots and all. I don't know why so-and-so with it. He ain't worth nothing. He doesn't use it. He got about 7 other women. He don't treat it right. So-and-so and so-and-so treat it like a dog. A busy. She said, yeah, I don't know why. And now you can see it in everybody's life, but then when it comes to you, you got the same thing going on. You can't see that. Well, he does have some good things about him. Yeah, I don't know why I ain't left him yet. Well, why are you going to tell me? and yours pistol whipping you. That, see, distorted vision. We want to straighten out everybody else's life. And your life should be a full-time job. Let me finish with this. Please go ahead. Your brother's eye and a beam, you got a log in your own eye. How can you say to your brother, behold, allow me to take out that speck that is your eye, when you yourself got a beam? I see if he just said a toothpick. He said, no, you got a log. You got big time issues that you can't see. But you can see what I need to do. When you yourself do not see the beam that is in your own eye, you actor, pretend. I didn't say it, hypocrite Jesus talking. Take the beam out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see clearly. I can see clearly now. You know, we judge people, we stereotype people we don't even know nothing about because we got issues in our own life. We can see every day. And if someone decides something wrong with you, like there are people who decided, I don't care how anointed he is, I don't care how this church grows, he ain't right. Jesus healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out the dead. And you know what they said? He did it on the Sabbath day. Folks that have decided to hate you, gonna hate you anyhow because they refuse, they can't see clear. And I'm not going to let blinded people. That's why Jesus said that the blind, leave them alone. Rotten fruit will fall by itself. Don't go responding. Don't go responding on faith. Let them talk. Rotten fruit will fall by itself. Give it time. I ain't going to respond to all that. I'm going to keep preaching the word, living my life. Because I ain't going to let blinded people cause me to fall in the ditch going after them. Respond. He says, you'll be able to clearly take the speck. Then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. Everyone say distorted vision. So what am I saying here? Offense and unforgiveness will distort, will obstruct and distort your vision. And that beam goes through your background, your history, everything you've been taught since you was a little boy. Because all you're doing is looking at someone else through your experience. What I would have did when I grew up, we didn't play cards. So cards are sin. Well, then my mama, mom-in-law that's in heaven and her whole family, they sin big time all during the week because they are spades. But there are some people believe that. Amen. That's how you grew up. And what we do, we take our background and try to stuff it down everyone else. Or things we got delivered from and think because you got delivered instantly, so-and-so still struggling with smoke, and you want to correct them, but you still got issues in your own life. You can't see clear. Why? You got offense. You've already made up your mind about somebody. You're looking at me through filtered information from some negative person that sold something in you. And you think you know me or know someone else, and you don't know jack about me. Because you got obstructed view. Jesus said, remove. The old folks put it this way. Sweep around your own front door. I'm trying to clean my house up. You got garbage, old beer can, potato chips out, all toenails in your coffee. You trying to come to my house talking about I got something back. You better get out of here. Sweep around your own front door. Proverbs 18:19. I'm almost done. I know y'all would love me to shout and pray. I love y'all. I'm a truth bearer. I'm a light bearer. I know some of you don't want to learn. You just want to shout and go out here and prosper. And all that will come when you can see clear. You offended. A brother offended is harder to be won over than a strong city. Their contentions separate them like bars of a castle. You know that's so. When people get offended, notice he said they separate themselves. That's why people get offended. I ain't going, and you can't talk to them. Watch when people isolate themselves, then try to isolate you. You still going over there? Why ain't you? I know why. Proverbs 18, you got offended, and you've separated yourself. And I don't care what you do, how you love them, what you do, you can't win them. Because they say that bars are like a castle. They're like contention. They put their own self in prison. Why? They look at you through that eye gate. And they refuse to remove the mess, the offense that's really in them. And until they do, they're going to stay locked up. Don't allow someone to lock you up. Don't start hating on someone just because someone else don't like them. And they don't want you to like them because I don't like them. Just because you got a problem with them, I ain't going to let your problem become my problem. That's you. Could be you why they don't like you. I don't know. Let me see what's in your eye. Take our level. Woo, look at that log. That's the problem right there. Okay, I'm getting very close. I got to be a pastor today, y'all. Okay. So there are blind spots in our lives that only the mirror of God's word can reveal. That's why we go into the mirror. That's why I'm teaching. How many of you know there are blind spots in all of our lives? Thing we can't see. Huh? When you're driving a car, you're on the left-hand side, passenger on the right-hand side, there could be a big truck right behind you. And so why? You're in a blind spot. You don't know what's inside you. Huh? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You and me coming down, a big truck coming down a ramp. You don't see it, but your passengers do. That's why you got to have someone in your life who loves you and cares for you, close to you. The things you can't see, they can give you another, hey, you need to get over. Hey, you need to move a truck. Come here. You need to, because they're taking care of you, your mom, your kids, and themselves. So we need one another. But now, only a trusted, notice I said, or a proven trusted friend. I ain't talking about folks who always just try to put you down. You need to have at least one person in your life. Because remember, the mirror of God's word, and I'm going to show you as we continue looking at the word, it's like beholding a mirror. And the mirror of God's word is not just a one-angle mirror. It's a half octagon. It shows your front, back, and side. You know how you are? You ever tried on a dress? And you had blind spots? Oh, you had one mirror. And you just, woo, okay, you think you look good. But when you got that octagon and it show all that stuff stuck up. Y'all think I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to help you. They're blind. So that's why you need the one secure. I wouldn't wear that. I wouldn't put that on. Okay, y'all trying to. I ain't really trying. I'm just trying to be honest. You know that blind spot. And I'd rather you tell me. I don't want to go out with something on. You can tell a lot of people don't love their mate because how they let them go out dressed. I can see. Oh, my God. See, if you put on clothes that are voluptuous, people will look at you at your clothes. If you put on clothes that are respectful, people will look at you and your character. It's you draw attention. There's tons of blind spots, and we need one another. That's why Tim, and I'll just use Tim. There's times that, oh, Lord, this always helps. See, Tim, sometimes I'm saying things, and he said, Pastor, don't use names or so. He's downstairs. I got blind spots. I got them, you got them. So I need someone who loves me. Say, look, you need to get off this subject. Watch that, because that's going now. That's blind spot. Everybody need that. Because I don't know everything. A husband can be blind toward the needs of a wife. You can be in there and just hurting. Wife can be hurting, crying. But he's so focused on one thing, he don't even know that his wife is hurting. A wife, a husband, I said husband to his wife, hurt. But the same thing, a wife can have a blind spot to a husband that, all he wants is just a little respect. And he's there. And children can have blind spots to their parents. You know, sometimes we're so busy making a living, this and that. You think just because you're buying them nights and that. And they need time with you. But you're blinded to it. And you need someone, the wife or the husband, say, hey, you need to talk with your daughter. Hey, you need to spend time with your son. He's going through something. It's because you're blind. We have blind spots. Some people have blind spot about being selfish. They don't know. They don't know they're selfish. They think that it's always about them. Me, my, I. Always about them. They're prideful. And they can't see themselves because it's in a blind spot. Are you listening to me? Some people have blind spots, crazy people don't think they're crazy. I'm not. Well, it's blind to them. We all know they're special. We know that. Your mama know it. But they can't see it themselves. How many of you know? And then sometimes you need somebody, a proven friend. I'm talking about someone you done been through some war, to take the stuff you can't see because you got a log in your eye, a blind spot, and say, hey, you know, I wouldn't say anything. You know what? I watch how you did so-and-so, so-and-so. I watch how you talked to that waitress. Don't do that anymore, because what it did, that hurt your witness, girl. Everybody, you know, we're Christians. And even though the food was cold, you shouldn't have went off. Blind spot. Y'all, see, y'all want me to, no, I can't do that. I got to bring you some light. You need somebody to pull you to the side and show you things that you can't see. And it takes the mirror of God's word. That's what I've done this morning. I put it up and I'm through. And all of us, see, I like that. I got them, you got them. Well, we ain't God. And I thank God for people that love me enough to say, Pastor, you know, Mia, many times, who get all my scriptures, all that stuff, all those notes, I have to give it to her and did. We proofread it. She'd go back to me, and sometimes she'd call me and she'd say, hey, Pastor, there is no Luke 39. Blind spot. And before I make a fool of myself, go ahead and tell y'all to turn Luke 39 when there ain't no 39 child, she'll weep. Why? I got people who love me. Who say, I want you to be anointed. I want you to do a good job tomorrow. We need it in all of our life, not to put you down, but to help you become all what God has called you to be. That's why it's got to be someone who loves you, who's going to tell you the truth about yourself, because open rebuke is better than secret love and faithful of the wounds of a friend. A real friend, even though it might hurt you, will tell you the truth because they love you. Girl, let me tell you something. I ain't trying to be funny. Don't laugh at this. But your breath is not fresh. You be all up in everybody's face. I smell it, girl. Now I'm on a... See, y'all. Blind spots. They didn't know. Because most people can't smell ombre. People tell me, what type of cloak on you? I don't know. I can't smell it no more. So if it's good or bad, I don't know. There are blind spots in our life. So you need to get to a mirror. A mirror will show you your proper alignment. When I went to the mirror this morning to align my tie, it could have been over there, but I got the mirror because I didn't know what was lined up. That's a reflection. The mirror of God's word. All of us with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold as in the word of God, as in a mirror. It'll help line you back up. It'll bring you back. It'll help calibrate your life. It'll bring you back into alignment with God. Things you can't see, because we are one-sided. But God is four and five dimensional. He can see behind you. He can see in front of you. We're constantly being changed, transfigured to his own image. Just a process. Ever increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from the Spirit of the Lord. So the mirror of God's word. Why y'all think I took time? You should have seen something this morning. When you look in the mirror, who do you see? God trying to show us you. He's trying to prove you. Michael Jackson said, I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Word of God. I'm asking him, you know, I need to be more kind. You have a blind spot to your tone of voice. I know I had issues in that. It ain't what you say, it's your tone. A soft answer turn away rather grievous words. And you don't know it unless a good friend say, you know what? You just need to tone that. You talk loud. You don't realize that. See, I'm a preacher. To me, loud ain't loud. I did just wow. And my wife is, I can't hear her phone. I said, turn up the phone. I can't hear them people. Ooh, that's loud. No, I like that. But it's a blind. You know what we do? Communicate. Amen. Well, I didn't know that, right? I'm going to work on that. I'm going to try when I shave not to put all the hairs and the thing and toothpaste in there. I was blinded. I didn't know that bothered you. You got to take people that love you, who care about you, and want the best. Because between the God's word and folks, because we are blind to a lot of things. Stand on your feet. I'm through. I hope y'all got something out of this. Wow, you can't see blind spots. Thank God for someone on the passenger side saying an 18-wheeler is coming down the ramp. I can't see it. It can save your life. We need to be able to see clearly, and the Word of God helps us see clearly. I hope I haven't offended anyone in here by my examples. I'm just trying to get you to think. God wants you to see clearly. So you need to ask yourself, what environment am I in? Where do I go to church? Am I willing to pay the price for the change? Before I get in the light, see, because the more, the same amount of people you can help,